the fact that both of you guys had both of your parents. And I love that because I feel like a lot of the stereotype is that all Black people grew up in single parent homes and no Black people grew up with their fathers. And both of you are living witnesses of the opposite, that you both did grow up in families that were intact, not perfect, I'm sure, but intact families.
And we even grew up with our grandparents being married. That probably also, Dana, was a benefit to our marriage because you just don't leave. You know, I'm sure we had some tough times, but you just don't leave. You work it out. Now, there are some things it's harder to get over than others, but you work it out and you stick it out until, you know, hopefully it does work out and your marriage makes it. We saw strong marriages.
You are listening to Real Relationship Talk, a podcast helping married and pre-married couples build lasting love from above. Got problems? Let's solve them. Because real trials need real truth. Now it's time to get in the game with your relationship coach and host, Dana Shea.
Hey, friends, it's Dana Shea. Thank you so much for being here today and happy Valentine's Day. If you are in the USA, you know that we are celebrating Valentine's Day today, if you are listening to this in real time. If not, then obviously Valentine's Day is behind us, but it's still the season of love. And today I'm so excited to have with us two really special guests, Pastor Kevin Turpin and his wife, Wanda. And I'm going to tell you all about who Pastor Kevin and Wanda are in just a second. But before we get into that, I also want to read our latest podcast review. So this review came in from someone named Jeannie Liu. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And Jeannie says, I listened to the 5 ways to cover your marriage. She's talking about episode 129, where I did 5 ways to cover, C-O-V-E-R, your marriage in prayer. And the C-O-V-E-R was an acronym for ways to pray for your marriage. So she says, this is definitely from the Lord. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to pour into marriages. I will be listening all day at work, JL. So JL/Jeannie Liu, thank you so much for this wonderful podcast review. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to let me know how this podcast is encouraging you. Well, friends, Pastor Kevin and Wanda, so much I could say about this dynamic couple. I have known the Turpins for about 14 years. Many of you all know that I am also a pastor, and Pastor Kevin is one of the co-founding pastors of the church that I pastor at. And through the years, Pastor Kevin has provided me and Sean, really, with marriage advice, personal advice, spiritual advice, just guidance. And he and Wanda have been married for 44 years. They have 2 adult children, Kevin the second, not junior, and their daughter, Jade. And Pastor Kevin and Wanda actually work together outside of the church. So yes, he's a pastor, but he is also bivocational, as I am. And Pastor Kevin heads an organization called the Life Enrichment Center, a regional nonprofit organization where they go into local schools helping at-risk kids learn how to read. So I was privileged to be a part of the Life Enrichment Center. At one point, I've emceed their banquet. I have tutored alongside the program or underneath the program, I should say. And they partner with local law enforcement, clergy, community leaders, corporate CEOs, I mean, you name it. And the hope is that by helping these kids learn how to read, we can reduce their chances of being part of the other system, if you know what I mean. So I was really interested to talk to the Turpins because obviously if you've been married for 44 years, you know a thing or two. And they talk a lot about their upbringing, how their upbringing has shaped them into the couple that they are today. We also talk about Black love. And when we say Black love, this is not meant to be racially exclusive. We want everyone here to feel included, but I also want to make sure that we elevate, especially during Black History Month, that we are elevating what Black love is, how resilient, how strong it is. So without any further ado, it is my privilege to introduce you to Pastor Kevin and Wanda Turpin. All right, everyone. Well, I am so excited to have with us today my pastor, one of my pastors, Pastor Kevin Turpin and his beautiful wife, Wanda. I've known the Turpins now for about 14 years. And I'm just so happy to have you guys. Well, Pastor Kevin, let me just start off by telling people we have a big value of marriage counseling and marriage coaching on this show. I know Sean and I sat across a counseling table many a times in our relationship. And you've counseled quite a lot of couples, not just in our church, but just couples in general. Let me ask you, just kind of starting off this conversation, if you had to say, like, over the course of the many couples that you have counseled, what do you see as kind of the main foundational problem that a lot of couples are facing?
I would say communication on so many different levels. And part of it is not understanding the wiring of the other person, or wanting the other person really to think and to act, to make decisions the way you know that person makes them, and that's impossible because there's a book called His Brain, Her Brain, and we're wired differently in every facet. Women and men are different. That sounds trite, but it is the truth. So what I attempt to do is to help through various tools. Help couples really see how God has wired them so they can understand. And again, this took, now what I can give to couples maybe in 4 or 5 sessions, it took me half of my marriage to learn, almost 20, 25 years to learn it myself. But once you come to understand, one, that you're different, and two, you learn to appreciate those differences. That's when you're on a good road to healing, a good road in terms of understanding how to walk with each other in unity and in harmony. So I'll stop there, but communication is at the top.
All right. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, you said it took you like 20, 25 years to learn. So what was going on with you and Wanda? Like, what, where were the communication challenges that you were seeing in your earlier years of marriage?
Well, in our earlier years of marriage, I came in with some unusual baggage. I was very religious, sincere in my passion for God, loved not only God, but loved the church. So much so that I did one thing. I'll tell you this quick story. When our first, one and I were, we were married for 5 years, 4 years before we had our first child, 5 years before we had our first child. And, you know, I had developed this regimen on Friday nights. I go to church. I come home, work all day. Wanda works all day. We come home and I go to church because I was a musician. So at 6 o'clock, I needed to rehearse the choir. And then following that was a church service, you know, at around 8 o'clock. So I wouldn't get home to about 9 or 10 o'clock that night.
11.
Okay. So when we had Kevin, I picked her up. It was a Friday that she came home. We came in the house and I said, okay, sweetheart, you know, you got everything. And guess what I did? I went to church.
After your new baby had just been born.
After the new baby. Ignorant. Just totally. Whoa. Yeah. It took some time for me to live that one down. But that was initially, it's out of total ignorance. And it really sent a really bad message to her, to where she felt, okay, if this is the way my life is going to be, you know, I got to find a way. I'll stay long enough to get things stable for my son, but I don't know if I can stay in this relationship. Uh-huh. I didn't have a clue the message I was sending. And at that time, Wanda wasn't a big talker. She was just saying, well, if this is his life, she's not that type that's going to intrude. If that's who you are and that's what you want, I'm not going to interfere. Mm-hmm. So she didn't communicate that, but I picked it up. And there's some more to the story, but that's when I really began to kind of understand that, no, I need to learn some things. I need to mature and need to allow her to be who she is and not try to make her who I think she should be based upon some idealistic, religious, spiritual ideology.
Yes, that is so good that you're talking about that, because I do think a lot of Christian couples are dealing with that, where you'll have kind of this imbalance in spirituality. And one spouse, I mean, I was this way, where I would do the whole, you know, shaming Sean because he didn't want to go to church, and, you know, trying to make him go to all the meetings and stuff that I wanted to go to, and doing the whole blame and shame game. And, you know, and so I think that there's always that tendency, because like you said, our intentions are good, but the way that we present it, it really just pushes the other spouse in the opposite direction.
It's absolutely right.
Yeah.
So that was for me one of the things that I did that, you know, I learned later as I matured. that, boy, did that damage the relationship early on that needed some time to heal. And I had to prove it was more than words, you know, really you count and I really respect you. I had to demonstrate that and prove that.
So Wanda, you weren't much of a talker in those early years. Was it just kind of this idea that like he's going to do what he wants to do anyway, there's no need, or was there something else going on inside of you that you didn't communicate, like what this was really doing to you?
First of all, my personality is I'm an internal processor. I don't process outwardly. And also, I wasn't trying to compete with God. Now, when Kevin, I'm going to go back a little bit. When we first started dating, he wasn't really, well, he was involved in church. Don't get me wrong. But I very much was at the top of his list. So, and then we get married. And people say this all the time. You find out who the real person is when you get married. And I always say men like to hunt. They like to do all they can, you know, to get the prey. And then when they have the prey, they're like, okay, so I can go back to my regular life. So this part of Kevin's life, I really did not know how in-depth he was or connected he was to the church. And I felt he was connected to a man, too. So,
hey, explain that.
Let's pause.
Okay, sorry. How connected he was to a pastor in a church.
Yes.
Very much, gotcha. You know, an allegiance and making sure the pastor was pleased with what his duties were at the church. That way, not connected to a man. I'm sorry. I do need to correct that. I'm not a competitor, and my dad raised three girls. So I had a mom and dad all my life. I don't know anything but a mom and dad. And my dad raised three girls, and his philosophy was, I don't know that you're going to get married. You know, I hope that you find someone special, but if not, I'm going to make sure you know how to survive. So survival, I felt like wasn't going to be that hard for me because I kind of knew how to do it. But it was important because I already had my son that he was connected to Kevin, even though I wasn't really connected to Kevin. You know what I'm doing? Okay. So I said, well, you know, I'll stay long enough so that I don't destroy my son. I don't want him to, you know, I want that bond to be there between he and his dad. And I'm not going to compete with God. If God is number one in your life, then fine. And we are at the bottom. That's where we were going to stand. So I wasn't going to try to compete with God. But I realized later it wasn't per se God. It was the religious environment that we were in. It kind of shocked me, you know, I was in a city that I had never been. And Kevin was really the only person. I mean, you know, sisters and brothers, because some of them lived there. But I had never been in that city. So I was sort of a loner, you know. So I figured, well, I could pack up and go back home because that was always a great option, you know. So but thank God it worked out and we worked it out. And it did take some time, though.
Do you ever wonder what is the secret to a truly happy marriage? Maybe you find yourself looking at other couples wondering, what do they know that I don't? Well, friend, I have developed a free resource for you. It's a free audio called 7 Secrets to a Happy Marriage. These are some principles that I've learned in my own 23-year marriage that I know it's going to encourage you on your journey to having a truly happy and healthy marriage. Download your free resource today at realrelationshiptalk.com/7secrets. That's realrelationshiptalk.com/7secrets. Now let's get to our show.
Dana, I want to say this. I think most people plan for the wedding, but they don't plan for the marriage. And it's very, very difficult. You're taking two different, totally different personalities and trying to bring them in along with your family dynamic. And we have a great relationship with both sides of our family, which I know a lot of people don't have, but we do have that. We were raised similar as far as morals and your love for your family. But the difference was the religion. Church was a part of our life, but it wasn't everything in our life.
Wanda, you said two things that I think are, and correct me if I'm wrong or if you have a different perspective, but two things I think that might be kind of unique to Black culture. One, you said that your dad raised you to basically survive. He was like, I'm going to raise these girls up to be able to take care of themselves so they're not dependent upon a man. And I find that that is something that is unique to our culture, whether you're being raised by a single mom. Like I was raised by a single mom for the majority of my childhood. And that was my mom's purpose. It's like, you need to be able to take care of yourself. You know, you need to be able to be independent. And not to say that our other cultures don't teach their kids that, but I do think that there is something very unique about Black culture that we want to make sure our kids are going to be all right. They're not going to be dependent upon anybody. And then the second thing that you said that I thought was like really impactful, you were talking about just kind of how you grew up and the fact that both of you guys had both of your parents. And I love that because I feel like a lot of the stereotype about Blacks is that all Black people grew up in single parent homes and no Black people grew up with their fathers. And both of you are living witnesses of the opposite, that you both did grow up in families that were intact, not perfect, I'm sure, but intact families.
Yeah. Go ahead, Sue.
And we even grew up with our grandparents being married. So there was never divorce. I didn't see divorce until I got older and, you know, some family members that just didn't make it. But as far as my family and our grandparents, we always saw marriage. So that probably also, Dana, was a benefit to our marriage because you just don't leave. You know, I'm sure we had some tough, tough times, but you just don't leave. You work it out. Now, there are some things that it's harder to get over than others. But you work it out and you stick it out until, you know, hopefully it does work out and your marriage makes it. And we can say for both our parents, they have wonderful marriages. And though my dad died 2 years ago, 63 years for my parents and 72 years for Kevin's parents. We saw strong marriages.
Not perfect, but they model, particularly later in life. My dad is 92 and waits on my mom hand and foot. But my mother waits on him too. So there's that reciprocal relationship. And now it's sweeter than ever. God has blessed us with tremendous role models of what a marriage is.
You know, I came across a quote that said, Black love is revolutionary. And I've been like marinating on that quote. And then one of my friends said it to me not too long ago. And she's a single girl. And and she's like, I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to settle for just anybody. And so I asked her and I've been asking different people, like, what does that mean to you? Black love is revolutionary. So I want to ask you guys, what do you think about that quote? Do you agree? And if so, what does that mean to you?
Well, from my end, I think all love is unique. You know, bringing ethnicity into it, I say that for me, I learned to really appreciate the strength of a Black woman. She's been the backbone of the family structure. So even as I've watched my mom, I watched my mother-in-law as well, and then Wanda. There's a strength that she has. It's not cookie cutter. It's not, she's not, there's nothing mousy about my wife. She has an opinion. She doesn't mind speaking her opinion. Now she's learned to temper it a bit and be more honoring, but she never had a problem saying no, particularly when I went into full-time ministry and there's things that she didn't want to do, or when I was going to church and she didn't mind saying, I don't want to go. And she, and the thing about it is I would sulk and she didn't care. Hey, okay. You have a problem. You're mad. You're sulking. It's just she, and I didn't always like that, but I learned to appreciate the honesty. I learned to appreciate the transparency. And I learned to really appreciate the strength. Because if she didn't have that, perhaps we wouldn't be married today because, you know, she would feel just put out, put on and overwhelmed and forced to do things that she didn't want to do. Well, no, she didn't allow it to get to that point. She knew who she was. She knew what she wanted. She knew what she didn't want. And as the relationship matured, she did come around to do things that she didn't necessarily want to do, but she did them for me. She deferred to me. But after I learned how to defer to her and respect her in her space, And maybe that's unique within the Black culture, particularly Black women and their strength in knowing how to be resilient, uh-huh. how to be honest, how to articulate what it is they're feeling and what it is they want and what they don't want. I think the important thing is knowing how to communicate it in a way where it can be healthy right. and received and be a blessing to the relationship
right.
and not a threat.
Right.
Yes. That's good. That's yeah. good. Wanda, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah. As far as that statement, I think Black love is revolved. It revolves. It's something that you're learning something new every day. And I guess I consider it to be all love, not per se Black love, but because we're Black people, I'll say Black love. But, you know, I'll hear people talk about their wives and mainly from another culture. And I'm like, well, we don't do that. You know, I mean, and I'm just looking at our surrounding and the people we're around, because we have a say. And to me, a husband shouldn't be overbearing and a wife should have an opinion without feeling if I say that, then this is just going to destroy everything here because I'm going against him and blah, blah, blah. But opinions matter. And it's important that the wife has an opinion. Now, I think it is the way it is presented. Now, as far as African-American or Black woman, we can be strong. We can be very vocal. And sometimes that's something we have to work on for what we're saying to be accepted. We have to talk with a smile. Mm-hmm. It makes a difference when you talk with a smile mm-hmm. than always being wise. You know, it creates a different atmosphere. And it's something we have to work at. I know I do, not everyone, but I know I have to work at that when I'm speaking, I'm in front of people. And maybe that's some of the communication classes I had is that sometimes you just need to talk with a smile for it to be received. Mm-hmm. And it kind of tones it down. It makes it softer, you know, and, but as far as Black love, I do think, it's something that it's something that every day it is revolving. It's something that, because people haven't seen it, I don't know the statistics of Black marriages. Maybe that's something we should have looked up, but it's, you're right. It's not something I know for my kids. Most of their friends that they grew up with were married mom and dad. Mm-hmm. They had mm-hmm. a mom and dad, you know, even a few that were separated. The mom and dad were very much involved in their life. It wasn't like, you know, the parents were divorced, but we saw both of their parents just as much as we saw, you know, Kevin and I together. They were there for important things and they went on, you know, events with the parents and things like that. So I think maybe sometimes it's, I don't know, what's the word? Unique. I guess mm-hmm. some people think, well, no, that's not normal. Okay, maybe I'm living in an yeah. idealistic world and mm-hmm. and this is the reality. And to some degree, maybe it is more of a reality on the other side than on my side.
Yeah, I do think that there's something unique about Black love as far as the strength. You talked about the strength of the Black uh-huh. woman, Pastor, the resilience. I think about, you know, everything that our country went through in 2020. And there was there were lots of conversations going on. I have many uh-huh. friends who are in mixed marriages, and those were some uh-huh. real deal conversations right there. Uh-huh. But I feel like, at least in my own marriage, like there are certain things, there was just a different level of strength that Sean and I had. Like, we could lean on each other. And we're younger, like we didn't go through a lot of things that like my parents' generation mm-hmm. went through or my grandparents' generation went through. So I started talking to my grandmother. She just passed away in August. She was 91 years old. Mm-hmm. And I started asking her questions about, you know, when she was married to my grandfather and what they went through with. I mean, my grandparents went through, you know, the civil rights movement. I mean, they mm-hmm. were adults. You know, my mm-hmm. mother was a senior in high school before desegregation happened in her school. It's crazy mm. because like for, I know even to my kids, that seems like hundreds of years ago,
mm-hmm.
but this is just one generation removed from me.
Right.
And so, but to see like how our culture, how people, and this is not like a denigration to the other cultures. It's really, for me, just an exaltation of the strength that we have had and things that we've been able to endure through the years. And I think that having like that rock, having your spouse, and they know they get it too, you know, they're not like asking you a whole bunch of questions about mm-hmm. like, you know, because there's just like a unspoken understanding mm-hmm. that happens, I think. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things that I love and I celebrate. And I want to showcase healthy Black marriages more because of what culture is putting out there.
Right.
Fascinating. What you just mentioned, as I look back and consider our grandparents mm-hmm. and what they endured, mm-hmm. you know, oftentimes if they didn't complete high school, mm-hmm. if they even made it to elementary school, they made it. And they provided for their families. I know mm-hmm. both grandfathers would get up at 4 and 5 mm-hmm. o'clock in the morning to go to work. In terms of education, as you said, I don't even know if they got through elementary school, mm-hmm. But they provided for their families. And both of them worked. Both mm-hmm. grandparents worked, mm-hmm. potato fields and all that. But yet they kept the family together. And this whole notion that the Black family has always been broken. No, back there mm-hmm. in the day, they were two parent homes, and I mean
that we were, but
even back then in general, the family was intact. The Black family mm-hmm. was intact. As we were coming up in general.
Yeah. And I don't know, Dane, if that has something to do with the environment we grew up in or the area we grew up in. We're from a smaller town. We weren't raised in a big city. We didn't know anything about busing and segregation or anything like that. Kevin and I didn't until I guess we started reading it in the textbooks. And then when we moved to Buffalo, and I would talk to some of my friends that I met, she said, yeah, I remember being bused. I said, well, what is busing? Mm. And they said, you never experienced that? So I happened to have a picture of my third grade class, and I showed them my class. They said, oh, no, we never experienced anything like that.
Because y'all totally were already integrated?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Wow. Because it was one school in the town we grew up in. South. You know, there. Don't get me wrong. There was racism. Don't get me wrong. But not to the extent that when I met other people in my lives and they would start talking about what they went through, I was in a state of shock. I'm like, really? You know, just didn't go. You know, we went to other people's homes that weren't African-American. They came to ours and were part of a, you know, Girl Scout. So everything was mixed. Everything was, you know, so it kind of shocked me but it was a good reality because mm-hmm. I guess I was living in a bubble. To some degree.
And I'm wondering if your parents helped to protect you, you know, from that.
Well, they
I'm
lived like that too, though, Dana.
Yeah.
But they experienced racism, as Juana said. It's not that they didn't.
It wasn't,
It wasn't to the degree that, and therefore, and this is what I tell people, when we came down south, when I came down south, there are things that I was not aware of or privy to because I didn't walk through those things. We didn't experience a lot of the boundaries and barriers that a lot of people who grew up in the South and maybe other places experienced. We didn't experience it until maybe we went to college.
It's so interesting. Yeah, I was having, like I said, these conversations with my grandmother, and she was talking. My grandmother was born and raised in Norfolk, Virginia. And, you know, it was just right here. I'm in Virginia Beach. You know, you guys are here too. And so I asked her, I said, because I was really interested in how Black families operated when she was a little girl. Mm-hmm. And she said, I said, were all of your friends raised by two parent homes, or were there a lot of single mothers? Because I'm thinking there must have been a lot of single mothers back then.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, I don't know if anybody had a single mother. She was like, you know, pretty much all the dads were in the house. That, let me tell you, that was like news for me. I was like, really? And they grew up, and she talked about when Diggs Park. Now, my listeners that are like, you guys don't know what I'm talking about because most of the people are not from here. But if you live in Hampton Roads, you know where Diggs Park is. Well, my grandmother moved there when it was new construction. And uh-huh. she was like, they were so excited to move there because it was new construction. And she talked about how the dads would be out cooking mm-hmm. on the grill and the kids would be running around. And of course, I've heard even through my mom's stories that anybody could discipline you. Anybody's parent could discipline you because it was more of a community.
It was a community.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I love about our culture.
It did.
Right. It's a village. It's like, it's a community. And you know that for the most part, now, you know, there's some interesting people, you know, but for the most part, our community is going to take care of each other.
Yeah.
And I just love that about who we are as a people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was such a shock for me to find out that like all of these two parent households existed and there was not all these, you know, broken families. True. And I just really feel like that needs to be said. It needs to be said.
True.
Yeah.
We experienced that. We lived. Yeah. Matter of fact, I lived in an area, I would say it's called the Hill.
Yeah.
And in this area, we grew up in a predominantly white area, but this particular section of town was called the Hill. And I would say it had about, 50 to 60 African-American families in it, on the Hill. And, and in many cases, first-time home buyers. Mm. My parents purchased their home in 1963. I can remember when we moved in. And that was a big deal, you know, to own your own home back in the 50s and the 60s, which they did. But a lot of African-American families were in the same place. And like you said, you know, your neighbors, they discipline you.
And they told your parents.
Yeah. I love that. I love it. So let me ask you too, what would you say makes your love work? You've been married for 44 years. That's not an easy feat for any culture, for anybody, especially these days when divorce is so prevalent and common. What makes your love work? What's kept you together for 44 years?
I think respect gained. You know, wasn't something I tell my students all the time or my tutors, the respect is something you gain. It's not something that automatically comes. So learning to respect each other, very, very important. Very much so. We don't hover over each other. You know, I'm not the jealous type at all. So Kevin is very free to go and come. If he has to have lunches with the opposite sex and things, it doesn't bother me. You know, I'm very confident in who I am, and I'm confident knowing that my husband loves me. I think communication was something we learned how to work on, still learning in some areas. especially when it came to raising the kids, communication was an important part of our marriage dynamic here. And I guess number one for me is respect. Really, it's something we worked at. It's something that we still sometimes. We have hiccups every now and then. We're not perfect, but it's really at the top, I think, of our list, and keeping our marriage strong, really respecting each other. And I guess as you get older, I tell people, you know, I tell my daughter all the time. I said, you know, when you get married, it's not all about every now. Oh, honey, it's come home. Hey, how you doing? Had a good day? Yeah, yeah. He goes to his room. I go, we know we love each other, you know, it's important to know that we're still there for each other. And, you know, I could come and knock on the door and not expect something. What do you want? I don't you know, but we do. And I don't know if it's it's not because we work together, because we've always been sort of like that. We come home and I know I need my space. Kevin knows that. And Kevin needs his. And to have someone just start attacking or not attacking, but as soon as you walk into I couldn't take that. That's not who I am. And that's not who Kevin is. So we both need like breathing room. And we respect that from each, you know, with each other. We just, but respect, I think very, very top of the list. Communications, of course, communicating is good. It's definitely good. You got to communicate. But that's for me. I don't know.
For me, you know, there's, you know, I have to bring in the scripture.
That's right. Come on now.
Learning, I believe it's something to learning to live with your wife with understanding, something like that. And one thing, it takes time. This is why I use a lot of tools in counseling, you know, whether it's personality assessments, preparing rich, you know, the love language, all that. Because I think it's important that you really explore who you're really living with. You know, a lot of this, you can't get all of it in premarital counseling, but you really, when you're dating, a lot of that can be very superficial. And not only that, but we change. Uh-huh. We evolve.
Right.
You know, so uh-huh. the person you marry, you know, 5-10 years into the marriage could be a totally different person. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they have different needs. Uh-huh. So I study Wanda, and there are things that I know about her that if I were an evil man, I could hurt her deeply. Okay. But because I love her, I know those things. So there are things that I know how to stay away from, or in terms of communication, I know when she's not ready to communicate. So in the past, I would try to force her because I can go there in terms of wanting to communicate. Uh-huh. I can articulate what I'm feeling, and I want you to talk back to me. And there was a time when I was could be pushy in that area. But I learned that, no, you wait it out. You have to discern when she's ready uh-huh. to share. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what she's saying. That's respect. She feels respected.
That's right.
Versus,
yeah.
because I need to resolve the issue, then I'm going to say, well, no, we need to talk now. Uh-huh. Well, that's explosive. Mm-hmm. You do that. And so as I've learned, and I'm still learning the nuances of her soul structure and even out how she's evolved, then I can respect her at a deeper level. Mm-hmm. And it sends that communication that, hey, you know, I love you just the way you are. I know you're mm-hmm. wrestling with this. I know you don't understand this. You know, when I accepted the call into full-time ministry, it was a big deal for me. She cried. You know, oh, no. The thing that I most feared has happened.
Flashbacks. Yeah.
And to make a long story, shorten the story down, when I moved here, again, I was so involved in church, and I went to a retreat. And I was expecting God to speak some deep truth to me or some prophetic thing. And you know what he said to me? He said, I'm going to make you a godly husband and a godly father. Mm-hmm. Make sure that your children are bonded to you. I said, that's it? That became the centerpiece. I wasn't involved uh-huh. in any ministry, uh-huh. no church activity. Uh-huh. My concentration, my focus was on trying to please my wife, being there in mm-hmm. real practical ways for my children. And I give thanks to God because it was a turning point in my life, mm-hmm. turning point in my marriage. And if I did not heed that, I could have lost my entire family, could have lost my children. Mm-hmm. And because I heeded it, because that was the message. Make sure that you're bonded to your mm-hmm. children, and I'm going to teach you how to love your wife. Mm-hmm. Well, as soon as I got home, I get a call from a neighbor. They wanted me to be a coach for a basketball team. My son was 8 years old. It worked wonders for the relationship uh-huh. because mm-hmm. he saw me not just as a spiritual man, uh-huh. but he's my daddy and he's doing something that I like. Mm-hmm. And Wanda also, it meant a lot to her because uh-huh. she saw me bonding uh-huh. with my son that maybe I can stay with this guy.
Maybe I'm not going to leave him. Yeah. I just love what I'm hearing. It's just the mutual respect. And I love yeah. that, you know, that it isn't just the man is the only one that's being respected. It's like, yeah. no, this is a both and thing, because uh-huh. I think one thing that is unique to maybe Black women is that we do need to be respected. Not that other women might not feel that way, but that's pretty consistent amongst all the Black women that I know, is that we're going to need to be respected. Okay. and so the fact that it has worked for you guys, I love the fact that you're still in love. You like each other, because a lot of people can be married for a long time yeah. and not like each other. Yeah. But the fact yeah. that you work together, you like each other, you're yeah. still growing. I heard both of you say that we're still growing. It's just all really, really inspiring. So thank you guys so much for all the years that you have loved others and that you've loved each other. And that's been such an example for those of us who are coming up behind you guys. I really appreciate both of you.
Great. Thank you. Yes. Blessings, Dana.
All right, friends. So you heard their New York accent, right? You heard them talking like this a little bit, you know, yeah, they're from upstate New York. And so in all of these years, that accent is not going anywhere. But anyway, thank you so much, Pastor Kevin and Wanda, for everything that you shared with us today. I hope that you all caught the theme of mutual respect. You know, I kind of closed the episode or the conversation with that because that is so important. We have so many erroneous and false, can I say that, false teachings out there about how only one person in a marriage needs to be respected. And that is just simply not true. I think mutual respect goes a long, long way. And maybe some of you are witnesses of a relationship that did not or does not have mutual respect. And you know how that goes. So I just hope that you all are going to walk away from this episode today with that in mind. You know, how can I show my spouse more respect? How can I be more understanding of him or her? How can I respect how he or she is wired? And so again, just so grateful to the Turpins today. Well, you guys, if you want the show notes to this episode, you know, they're always available at realrelationshiptalk.com. Today's episode is 131. So just go to realrelationshiptalk.com/episode131. And as we like to close every episode and say, a good relationship is not one that works. A good relationship is one where you put in the work. Let's get to work, my friends. I will see you on the next episode. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Real Relationship Talk with Dana Shea. Find the show notes, helpful articles, and more relationship tips at realrelationshiptalk.com. Enjoying the show? Be sure to rate and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And remember to subscribe. We'll see you on the next episode.
And one by one, I watched my dear friends get engaged, get married, start having children. And especially as a woman, I felt like there was a certain timeline that these things needed to happen in my life.
Charity Gale shares a personal testimony on The Walk, a podcast for worshipers. Join us weekly to hear songwriters, worship leaders, filmmakers, and other creatives tell their stories in the form of a devotional. The Walk can be found on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast platform.